When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, how about that note from David Montgomery?
Yeah, who knows? Only God knows.
He says he hopes so. Come back this season. Not on IR.
A lot of hope. A lot of hope for a lot of things. Hope springs eternal.
I think a lot of people feeling more hopeful after Dan Campbell on our show yesterday. Did you see that was everywhere?
We obviously noticed it here in the studio before we were off the show.
We're kind of nodding going, oh, this is going to hit. Yeah. This is going to go viral.
Yeah, anytime. So it was twofold, right? He dropped two F-bombs.
Right.
And so that's going to make news in of itself. And then just the minute and a half motivational talk that included the two F-bombs, people were fired up. And Lions fans, whether it's you're here in Southeast Michigan, you're across the state of Michigan, or coast to coast, That was must listen.
And it's our mugs just nodding and smiling and going, look at this guy. Yeah. Can you believe what Dan's saying right now? And
scrambling for the dumb button.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And so that was everywhere. I know Adam Schefter plastered that to his 11 million Twitter followers or X followers. And all these other shows picked it up. Awesome. That certainly was like we called it chicken noodle soup for the football soul. That added a little bit of maybe some hope for Lions fans. Hey, coach isn't throwing in the towel. And we knew he wouldn't. We knew we'd get a good answer from him, but I didn't think he was going to be that fired up. And clearly he is looking at this as something that they will rally from. Jared Goff later in the day with Doug Karsh. Doug goes, there's some fans who are just kind of depressed. And Jared goes, why?
Yeah.
Why would they be depressed? We're 12-2. And he goes, well, just the injuries and you might not be able to overcome. He goes, I'm telling you, we will.
Yeah.
Then David Montgomery says, I know you guys are, he didn't say this, but basically you guys are worried that I'm done for the season.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. You need a big fourth and one in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Number five might be sitting in the backfield. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he might be in the backfield, but might be somebody up front on defense that could be back, as we heard from yesterday.
Yeah, let's play this audio because this is straight out of a movie. This is Aiden Hutchinson on Taylor Lautner's podcast. I didn't know that Taylor Lautner had a podcast.
Everyone has a podcast.
That's a good point. And here's Hutch.
Yours? No other way. No other option. That's the mentality you know he's going to have, right? That's why there is a chance. Still not a guarantee that he's back or cleared medically, but...
But what a rallying cry. I mean,
sure.
they're going to be in the playoffs, and if they can get... playoff win under their belt and two, and all of a sudden you're a win away from Aiden coming back. It's out of a movie. If he's running out of the tunnel in the Super Bowl and the montage is of look at him with his legs snapped in pieces on the field.
Yeah.
And here he is. It's the Super Bowl. And they desperately will need pass rush if they face those quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. Like it really could be out of a movie, John.
It certainly would be. And I am as hopeful as anyone that Aiden Hutchinson is back on the field for the Super Bowl because it would change your thoughts on the outcome of that game. And everything we've talked about now, limited pass rush, everybody's banged up, guys are coming back, Lee McNeil, done, all this stuff. You get Aiden Hutchinson back. And because he was on a tear. Just think about this. He is still on the list for the most pressures And obviously, he's moving down the list, but he had built up so many moments in the brief time that he had in this season. And I think it was until like week 10 where he was still in the top five in sacks, still in the top five in QB pressures. And it just, I mean, that's how impactful he was early. Imagine being able to get that back for the Super Bowl. Now, the question is going to be, is that what you're getting back for the Super Bowl?
And that's what I was going to ask you.
And again, it remains to be seen. Have no idea what type of condition he'll be in, because there's you could be in great shape, but there's a thing called football, shape.
Yeah.
And the only way you get in football shape is by playing football games.
You could just kind of see the storylines emerging, and I don't know if it'll time up just right. Like Carlton Davis, could he be back for an NFC title or the Super Bowl? Sure. Could David Montgomery be back for the Super Bowl? Could Aiden Hutch? You got to get there, and that's that thread in the needle, right? But it could. The stars could align for all of this to work out.
And the number one star that has to align is they get there.
Yeah, they have to win the games in front of them. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs, but they're going to have to win playoff games. Multiple playoff games to make all of this possible. Now, the question was, to give you hope, some of this may be false hope. I understand that. But that sure beats no hope. Like, coming out of this weekend with the injuries and the loss and the way they lost, and a lot of people were down. And this may be false hope, John. Like, maybe Aiden can't come back at all or come back and be a difference maker. Maybe David Montgomery is wishful thinking, and he's actually, that knee is just, they're going to get surgery and he's not going to play. It could all be false hope. Carlton Davis with the wired jaw shut, with he might not be able to come back and make a difference for this football team. I don't know.
Those yes. And so the only false hope is, how much do fans grab a hold of this and use it as a rallying cry, or are hopeful that they will see Aiden Hutchinson run out of that tunnel? In terms of, because somebody asked me this, well, isn't it giving the team false hope? Well, no, because guys that are in that locker room have seen this injury happen before. It's not like it happens, every year, but it does happen across the NFL. And they're very aware that, bodies heal at different times. Recoveries happen at different times. And they could be hopeful, but their hope is more based in realism because they're living it.
248-539-9797. Just getting people's instant reaction to this like burst of potentially good news. 248-539-9797. We've got the power surge coming up at 6:35. John, before the game was even over on Sunday, I had a media member, unnamed, come up to me and go, "Can't wait to see how John does this."
Yeah.
Because you had the Lions number one, rightfully so, for months.
Yes.
And the Bills win. And then, of course, Kansas City is still winning. And the Eagles look very good. And just how far did the Lions slide losing that game? We'll find out at 6:35 this morning.
I think there will be... there may be some controversy.
Oh, boy.
There may not be as much movement as some might anticipate.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to send him free-falling.
Well, we'll see. I mean, injuries will play a part of this. Results of games, production, all of those things will play. And it's not, hey, they're not the only team that suffered injuries. They're not the only team that had a good win, bad loss, all of those different things. So
you mentioned controversy. No more controversy in Atlanta. They have made a quarterback change. Just real quick, your thoughts on the benching of Kirk Cousins for Michael Penix. They're still technically alive for the playoffs in Atlanta.
Actually, a little surprised that it took this long. I mean, what was the stat that Filar had? 5 weeks, 9 interceptions, only 1 touchdown. And if you are still in the mix for a playoff spot, do you want to turn to a rookie quarterback? That's probably not the first move you want to make, especially for a first-year head coach. However, you've got to do something to spark your team if you wait any longer. And maybe they waited too long.
Maybe.
That might be the answer, is that they just simply waited too long. Because coming out of Atlanta, the discussion is Michael Penix is wowing in practice. Now, I don't put a lot of stock in practice wows, because right now, you're not going full speed. You're throwing pretty much on air. Yeah, there may be some defensive backs around your receiver, but I don't know that I mean, obviously Kirk Cousins was not wowing in games. Nope. I doubt he was wowing at practice. So why did it take this long to make the switch if that is true? Coming, you're putting on the money sign.
That's the only reason Kirk was still playing, right?
You're making money. You're printing it?
No, I'm saying he was making so much money that the economics of it. It shouldn't matter. It should be about winning football games. Everybody
you
else
make
is trying
more
to win.
Money, win more games.
Exactly. How about some playoff games?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're in Atlanta, that's what you're playing for, is to have playoff games. And they could still win that division. They have the tiebreakers over Tampa. They could have a home playoff game. To talk about money.
Well, that's about the only route they have to get in is actually win the division.
Yeah.
And because there's going to be three teams,
especially
in the NFC North. And if Washington keeps winning, they're going to be in. Like, you're just running out of spots. You either have to win your division or you're going to be, you know, you're going to be watching all the playoffs from home.
Got some ticket texts on a potential Aiden Hutchinson return. We'll read some of those next. And why John is ditching me tonight. It's 97.1. Yes.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham & Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random individual that you're never going to meet. Visit AbrahamAndRose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Okay, that is like out of a movie where you say, there's no other way. Cutscene, montage, training,
yeah,
working his way back. Yes, but the team has to hold up their end too. Highlights from the Lions. Is this hope or is this false hope? We have two exactly. Exactly. We have two early votes for false hope, John. Texter says, why are we acting like he would come back and make an instant impact? He would be out for more than half the season up to the Super Bowl. There's no way he's even 75% of himself.
Well, okay. Is 75% of himself better than 100% of what's out there now?
Guys, as much as I'd love to see Aiden come back, I hope he doesn't. I hope he stays out and heals and recoups for next year. I don't want to see him re-break his leg. He need to get his torque up again. That's Matt and Grand Blank.
I'm not worried about him rebreaking his leg. Is there going to be an imbalance? You know, is one side less strong than the other side? And would that possibly create an injury? That's one of the big things about recovery, of getting guys back on the field, is it's not yet you may be 100% healed. His bone is probably 100% healed. I mean, there's plenty of steel in there now to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But are you susceptible to another injury because there's an imbalance?
But is it not worth it?
Oh, to me, it would be worth it. Aiden Hutchinson, any player is going to tell you it's worth it.
Even to the fans.
That's where, is it worth it to the franchise? Now, you would think, okay, winning a Super Bowl. Sure. But for the impact that Aiden Hutchinson is moving forward, that's going to be the big question, is what will the franchise do? What will Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, what type of decision will they make? How do they need to be influenced? And trust me, I guarantee you, Aiden, the reason he is saying these things right now is so that if the doc says, well, you're not going to hurt this again, then there's pressure from within, but now there's public pressure on Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, the franchise. And trust me, the mind games, all of these things are Aiden Hutchinson's tools of, he simply wants to be on the field. We know that. We 100% believe that. Everybody wants him on the field. Dan wants him on the field. It's going to be a matter of what is going to be best for Aiden Hutchinson when that time comes.
Look, I don't know if he can make it back. It's clearly something he's working towards and working like a demon. And David Montgomery's like, don't put me on season-ending IR. Give me at least a chance.
Yeah.
And if that's the mantra from guys who aren't playing, you know what it's going to be from guys that are playing. And I do think this is a rallying cry. So maybe it is false hope, but I think you need to cling to anything you can to keep the momentum going, to keep the train on the tracks. Yeah. And I think for fans, it's healthy. For the team, we know that they're unfazed. I mean, the messaging has been clear from Dan Campbell to Jared Goff, up and down that roster. We can and we will, and the season's far from over. The sky is not falling.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, people will be disappointed. But no one's going to look at it and go, oh, well, he doesn't want to be on the field. There is a measure of reality that everybody is looking. We all saw the injury. We saw what happened. And when it happened, it was an absolute, everybody agreed, it was an absolute long shot that he could be back. So if he's not, no one's going to sit there and question him.
Of course not. So tonight, PCC at LCA.
I know. Supposed to be a big night.
Supposed to be John Jansen show. With me.
I know.
And what, this whole moving thing?
Well, yeah, moving was the number one reason. The number two reason that did pop up, there's a death in the Michigan family.
Oh.
And so Bobby Morrison, who was one of my coaches at Michigan, tackles tight ends coach. He was a special teams coordinator. He was a recruiting coordinator. Did a lot for Michigan. And he passed away last week. His celebration of life, the services are this evening. So even without the move, I would have had to have backed out. He was, and I didn't find this news out until, I know he was in poor health. He was at a couple of games early in the season. He'd struggled with cancer for a long time. And it finally took him last week. I found out about it, you know, a couple of days ago. And it's one of those people in your life that you just will forever miss. And so to Bobby, his family, his wife passed a few years ago. I'm happy that they're back together. He and his wife had a great relationship. He was a coach for 35 years and just was so instrumental in that 97 season, instrumental in my life. And just a quick story. Mm-hmm. When I moved back to Plymouth, I had a house that was right on the corner of Sheldon Road and Ann Arbor Trail. And the crosswalk that, if anybody has been on Sheldon, you know that there's a crosswalk that goes, it's an elevated crosswalk, so you can look down at some of the backyards. And a Sunday morning, I'm taking the kids to church, and all of a sudden, I hear, Jansen! And he had a voice that you would recognize. And I thought, Mike, I'm going to church. Like, where's this voice coming from? And he was on the crosswalk. Yeah, because he had a townhouse down in downtown Plymouth. So he was on the crosswalk. He saw me. And anytime you saw him, it was big hugs. I broke one of his ribs one time.
Hugging him?
No. After we would warm up, and he was standing by me, and Mike Gittleson, our strength coach, would blow the whistle, and we would all sprint. And so we were laying on the ground. I threw my helmet on, turned around, didn't look, and Bobby was standing right there. And as I am on my trajectory to stand up, I put my helmet right in his ribs, knocked him down. And he didn't, you know, to his credit, didn't go to the trainers, just went on with practice. 2 weeks later, he gets hit on the sideline. I think we were in Iowa. Goes to the hospital for x-rays, and the doc says, I got good news and bad news. Good news is you didn't break anything today. Bad news is it looks like you've got an injury. You broke a rib 2 weeks ago. And he got back to the plane before we left, and he came up and he said, F you, Jansen, you broke my rib. So I don't know what you're talking about. So
here I thought you just didn't want to go to a hockey game with me. It's not a great thing to happen, but a good reason.
But I know he's looking down. Bobby, we love you. Love your family. And, I'll see you tonight.
Let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, what's going on?
Well, those two guys who posed as fake DTE workers in order to gain access to that Rochester Hills home and then ultimately murder the homeowner are now headed to trial. So several witnesses provided testimony at this preliminary hearing, including the wife of the victim, Hussein Murray. He went by Sam to those who really knew him. And Linda and his her husband, they'd been married for 54 years. Wow. And during her testimony, she described the moments before and after the suspects were last seen with her husband. So she explained how after they went into her house, they went downstairs to the basement. She didn't hear anything after that. And then she did talk about what happened when the two suspects kind of reemerged from the basement.
That's awful.
Oh, my gosh. Having to go and then tell people and relive those moments. Yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine. Awful. Detroit police arrested a father after his 4-year-old son accidentally shot himself at their home. Happened on Tuesday. So according to police, the father was sleeping on the couch and the gun was underneath a pillow. Well, that little 4-year-old was able to obviously get his hands on the gun and then accidentally shot himself in the right hand. Good news is that this boy was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Sounds like he's going to be okay. Officials are still investigating, but the dad was taken into custody. Move over, Rockefeller Center.
I know.
Yeah,
how about
the skating
this?
Rink at Campus Martius has been named the top ice skating rink in the entire country.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it is. According to USA Today's 10 Best List, the rink at Campus Martius offers a truly unparalleled ice skating experience. So, of course, you've got the really enchanting holiday decorations when you go down there. You've got Michigan's tallest Christmas tree going on right now. Beautiful views of the city skyline. And then there's something new there. The new Chalet 313 overlooks the rink. It's glass enclosed. It's 2-story heated lounge overlooking the park. So
it's awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I haven't been down there in a long time for ice skating. Mm-hmm. The last time I went ice skating is when I used to do auto shows.
And oh, really?
Well, yeah, because you're there with all your friends. And hey, what are we going to do? Well, let's go.
Got to take Emily down.
Oh, I will.
That'll be so much
Although
fun.
It'll be hard. I mean, maybe, do they have those little like...
I don't know if I would think they would. Yeah.
Can I get her on skates yet?
Well, it doesn't have to be this year. You can go next year, the year after, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, you could definitely get her on skates.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I got her on a snowboard.
She can walk, she can be on skates.
So
yeah.
If I got her out on a on the snowboard, she can get on, on ice skates for
good
sure.
Point.
Listen to this. Starting in September of 2027, so you've got some time to mentally prepare. All new vehicles in the U.S. are going to have an alarm that will sound if rear seat passengers are not wearing their seatbelt.
Oh, another ding in the car?
So you've got it already. Most cars, the new cars, have it up front. You have to have it for the driver's seat. Most new vehicles already do have it for the passenger seat as well. But now you're going to have it for rear seat. And there's going to be, I guess you could call them, improvements for the alarm that sounds in the front seat. The duration is going to be longer. So that there's going to be a longer audio and visual warning for drivers.
So my understanding is the law requires the front seat passengers to be, but not the rear seat passengers to be.
Buckled?
Yes.
That's what I thought the law was, yes.
Now, that doesn't mean you still shouldn't buckle up and be safe, which is why I think this is ultimately a good thing.
Yeah, so the rule, there's
How often, when you get in the back seat, do you buckle up?
Every time.
I'm rarely in the back seat. No, I rarely buckle.
Yeah, if I'm in the back seat, I mean, yeah, again, rarely in the back seat, but...
Yeah. They say that this new rule will save 50 lives per year and prevent 500 injuries when fully in effect. So there you have it. And I'm sure it only goes for a certain duration and then it stops.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, how is John going to rank the best teams in the NFL after the Lions loss? It's the Power Surge next, 97.1. Oh, we've been waiting for this one.
Yeah.
Because now you got some decisions to make.
Yeah, some tough decisions. And, you know, you start to rank losses at this time of the year, not just wins. And the bonus coverage we had a couple of weeks ago about the MVP race, I think, can we all agree that it's Josh Allen?
Yep.
Is there anything he can do in the final 3 weeks that really detracts from his case?
Not really.
I mean, I think that's almost a done deal.
Yeah, barring like a 5-interception day and then another 5-interception day and then another. Yeah. Like, he's got this on lock.
And just to add some more context to what we're talking about, because as you get to this time of the year and you're talking about the top six teams, it's kind of hard to get 5 and 6 sometimes.
Yep.
And you had a stat before we came out here about playoff teams and how there's a great division between the haves and have-nots.
This year, we may, based on this weekend's games, have the field set 2 weeks early. Not seeding.
Right.
But the teams will be in and locked in with 2 weeks to go. That hasn't happened since 1970, which speaks to no middle class in the NFL. Right.
The haves, the have-nots. So so now we're already talking about 14 teams that are more than likely your playoff teams.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of seeding. We all know that the Detroit Lions, hey, you win out, you control your own destiny, you're going to be the number one seed in the NFC. So what does that mean right now with the results that we had last week? Well, just a quick review. Week 15, it was Lions at 1, Bills at 2, Kansas City at 3, Minnesota at 4, Philly at 5, and then Pittsburgh at 6. And so what do we have this week? We have some teams that are a lot of 8 and 6 teams where I'm looking at it going, okay, well, Seattle, could you do us a solid and beat Minnesota? That would be nice. The Rams, the Chargers, Tampa Bay, a lot of teams that are getting hot going into the playoffs, but I don't necessarily know how much damage they could possibly do, and they certainly don't get into the top six, but they could beat somebody in the top six.
Yep.
You've also got Baltimore, Washington, Denver, and Houston, all at 9 and 5. So you've got some teams in there. Denver, like, what do we really believe about them? Baltimore is kind of that team where they've been in the top six and they're back out, just trying to figure out how good Baltimore is. And Lamar Jackson, he was the front runner for MVP for a long time. And then obviously we got Green Bay at 10-4. What do we do with them? Well, they're not in the top six. Pittsburgh stays at number six, even though they lost. But they lost to the Eagles, who last week were the number five team. The Eagles, having won, will actually bump up a little bit. Minnesota drops down one spot into the five spot. So they are at 12-2. They beat the Bears. Kind of anticipated that they would beat the Bears, yeah. Much like we're anticipating the Lions beat the Bears. The Bears are an absolute dumpster fire, but Pittsburgh losing to the Eagles, not going to dock them a whole lot, because I still think, I think if you put them on the field with Green Bay, you put them on the field with Baltimore, you put them at this point, they're the better team. Minnesota at 5, I mentioned that. Now here's where we get into some fun. I mentioned KC at 3 last week. KC, even though they beat the Browns, bumped down to number 4. And you ask why? Well, Philly, I think, is a better offensive team. I think they're comparable defensively. And as you do a little deep dive into why has Kansas City struggled this year? You say they're a 13-1 team. They haven't struggled. Well, they've only scored 30 points twice. Offensively, with Patrick Mahomes, Kelce, the injury that they've had, they added D-Hop, but it really hasn't added a whole lot of offense. And it was still, 21-7 win over the Browns. And that was with Jameis Winston, the quote machine, throwing 3 more interceptions, ended up being benched for DTR.
Yeah, the Chiefs got 6 takeaways in that game.
Yeah. They're at 4. And I've got Philly at 3, beating the Steelers. I was kind of hopeful that was going to be the game that they might drop and it might give the Lions a little breathing room. No, they've seemingly put some of the off-the-field issues behind them. Not going to bump them up past that. So obviously we've got 2 teams left. Bills, Lions. No chance the Lions stay at 1. So Lions bump down to 2. Not going to fault them too much, because last week I had Buffalo as the number 2 team. So number 2 beats number 1. You just simply change spots. And I still think the Lions, I know that there's a bunch of injuries, and I talked about injuries playing a part of this. Philly also suffered some injuries. Jalen Hurts has a broken finger, not on his throwing hand, and feels like he's still going to play. Landon Dickerson didn't finish the game, was hurt. They've had some injuries on defense. So both teams are battling some injury issues. So that's why Philly stays at or moves to 3. Lions stay at 2, or only fall to 2. And the Bills are the number one team in the NFL going into week 16.
Okay.
Issues you may have.
Yes, I have issues with it. I always do. Please, and you guys do as well. 248-539-9797. You kind of lumped in Detroit's injuries with Philly's injuries. They are not the same.
We're talking
season enders for the Lions.
Sure.
We're talking playable injuries for Jalen Hurts and some of the Eagles players.
Okay, yeah, but your quarterback has a broken finger on a hand. It can affect some of the plays that you're calling. It can affect the handoff to Saquon Barkley. It can affect a lot of things.
But don't lump them in as Lions and Eagles both have injuries.
Well, your quarterback has an injury. It's a big deal.
One has 22 guys on IR.
Right.
The other one is the Eagles. I would have the Lions, not 1, not 2, and not 3.
Oh.
I'd put the Lions 4th behind Buffalo, Philly, and Kansas City.
Okay.
For all the sky is falling, I still think they're one of the 4 best teams, but there's work that has to be done. They slide down because of the loss, and not just one loss, but the losses that went with it, how they lost, and then the injuries that went with it. John, I would put the Vikings 5. You had them 5 as well?
Yes.
Okay, and then 6, I would put Green Bay over Pittsburgh.
You know, I wrestled with that one, and as much as I don't like Russell Wilson, I just don't trust Jordan Love to be able to make the plays in a key moment in key games. Like, we've seen his ability to turn the ball over at key moments is just tremendous.
The team I would not sleep on, and I'll say it for the second week in a row, Houston. I've not been overly impressed with them, but the opportunity to pick up some significant wins the next couple weeks. They play Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yeah.
If they can win one or both of those games, they will be in. I have to imagine at that point they would be in the power surge.
Yes, but the problem that I'm having with Houston is C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is, at this point, like, he just hasn't been as productive. I know Nico Collins was hurt for a little bit of the year. He's back now. They still haven't been able to find that chemistry that they had last year. C.J. Stroud, while I think he's a better player this year, is not as productive as he was last year, is not having as much influence on games as he had last year.
He's not having it because everybody overlooked just how easy their schedule was last year.
Right.
It was so stinking easy that they lit up a bunch of bad defenses. I agree with you, Jim. I perked my ears a little bit. Their defense this week, and that's going back to D'Amico Ryans and the type of coach he is, a defensive-minded coach, that maybe if their defense can get right, and they'll show it these next couple weeks against Kansas City, but especially Baltimore, they could be a little sneaky. But you're right. Stroud's got to get – he's got to find at least some of the magic from last year.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he can. Mixon's been good for them, actually. If I were to change anything, I might go Buffalo KC 1-2. And I'm starting to rank it based on the QBs. The QBs matter.
The QBs do matter.
And Mahomes looks like he's going to be okay.
Yes, in terms of the injury, yes. The high ankle sprain is a mild high ankle sprain. I think he's going to be fine. I think he is actually going to play this week. But he hasn't been the same Mahomes as he's been in the previous years.
I think I would put the Lions ahead of Philly at 3 because the Lions has just lost to 2 better teams. Atlanta did. Yeah. They did lose to Atlanta, Philly. You're splitting hairs there. Vikings 5 for sure. I would not put the Packers 6 because they have a 1-3 record in the NFC North. You know, and again, they've piled up wins more than anybody against like mediocre bad teams. There's so many bad teams this year.
Right.
I don't ever remember a season where there's like, it seems like there's 10 to 12 teams that are just horrendous.
Well, and here's the other thing. When you're talking about the injuries do matter. But let's not forget the Thursday night game where they played against Green Bay. And while we didn't think Aleem McNeil was going to be out for the year, he was not in that game. DJ Reader, not out for the year, but he was not in that game. They have proven that they can beat teams that run the ball without a large part of their defensive line. So that's why I still have them at 2. Now, this will be telling this week. You're not going to learn a lot against the Bears, but we will see scheme. We will see how they're going to use some of these players. Who's going to fill those spots? Broderick Martin is going to have to step up and be a man.
One question. Two teams that are surging, the Rams and Bucks. Who do you guys think is better?
The Bucks.
I do, too.
I
think
you're
a better overall team.
Boy, you're really splitting hairs when you're talking about that. But if you're talking as a competitor, I'll take both of those quarterbacks. I think I would be more worried about the passing game of the Rams versus what I see from Baker Mayfield. I know Mike Evans is healthy and he's a threat, but I would be more worried about that Rams offense.
Bucks beat both the Eagles and the Lions this season.
Yeah.
I would put them slightly ahead of the Rams in terms of the surging teams. John's got the Lions 2. Tom says 3. I say 4. Where would you rank the Lions?
He's back to crashing the bus. Costa, bus driver.
I've disrespected them by saying they're the fourth best team with mounting injuries.
We got to officially. Is 15-2 over?
No, I think they're going to go 15-2. Okay. It's 97-1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. We're all here on a Wednesday following the power surge where the Lions were ranked second by John Jansen behind only the Buffalo Bills, who just won the head-to-head.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's still movement possible in the coming weeks. Want to see exactly what the Lions are going to be against the Bears, and it's going to be a tough tell, but I have to do a lot of film review on DJ Reader and Broderick Martin. Like, how do those guys work together in terms of, how are they able to apply pressure and push the pocket? Same thing with Za'Darius Smith. Now, he came in and I think it was, 3 sacks in the first, 4 games. We didn't see or hear a lot from him, and I didn't expect it against Josh Allen because it's more of rush lanes and trying to keep him in the pocket. I do want to see what this team, what this defense, more importantly, is going to look like with now that we have the injuries. And some of it was, I know that they're out for the season.
Yeah.
But we have played games without some of those players already. And won.
Yes. I don't know that I'm going to feel like they are going to move up in a power surge type power rankings if they beat the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, but how do you, because I know that you said, they're out for the season. Well, those guys weren't there. In fact, Ali McNeil and DJ Reader were not there against Green Bay, yet they were still able to slow down the run and win that game.
My point
is, they're a better team than obviously Chicago.
To me, and I put the Lions fourth, the teams they're chasing, I don't know. The only way they're going to be able to overcome it is in games of that caliber, right? Like, beating the Bears or even the Niners doesn't make me feel like Detroit is better than Buffalo, Kansas City, or Philly, right? Like, for Buffalo, the case is obvious. They beat both Kansas City and Detroit. They're the only one that has played the other teams in the pod and won both games. Right. Buffalo should be one. Kansas City may finish the season with one loss and Patrick Mahomes. And with Philly, they may finish with 15-2. Now, fortunate for the Lions, they have the tiebreaker. We could end up with 4 teams that finish, 14 or 15 wins. In the case of Buffalo, they could only win 14.
Oh, that never happens in the NFL.
I know. How dare we say that there could be a 14-win team in our city, let alone in the NFL, because it just can't happen. It's a 17-game season. How could they win 14 games?
And that's the thing. There could be 4 of them this season. Now, the Lions, the only way that I can move them up is if they play one of those teams and beat one of those teams, and they don't get a chance to do that until the playoffs.
Well, and here's where I think that when we talk about the teams going with 2 weeks left in the season, the playoff pool could be set. Now, it's a matter of seeding at that point, but I think it's also there's haves and have-nots, but there's also a big gap between the teams that have the most. And those are the 4 teams that we're talking about arguing in the top 4 of the power surge versus the other teams. And a large part of why I think the Lions are still up there, and TJ mentioned it, they're still one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. Even though a lot of these guys were not starters at the beginning of the year, in fact, some of them weren't even on the roster, weren't even on a roster, let alone the Lions roster, practice squad, I still think I've got a lot of faith in what I've seen from Aaron Glenn over the last 2 years, in his ability to be creative in how he uses the talent that he has.
So split some hairs here. You just said until they beat one of those teams ahead of them. Well, they don't have to play any of them until late January.
Correct.
And that's the beauty of this, is that the Lions have time to try to get there and get better as they, as you move through this. Now, I got to ask you this, though, splitting hairs.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lions go 3-0 the rest of the way and the Eagles go 3-0 the rest of the way, who's three?
Well, you'd have the big win against Minnesota, right? You would have beaten a power surge team.
Yes.
With a depleted roster.
Boy, that is really splitting hairs. I wouldn't be mad at Costa in conflict. I couldn't be mad at someone who put the Lions ahead of the Eagles after the Lions beat Minnesota for the second time this season to secure the one seed in the NFC playoffs. I couldn't be mad at that. And it's a huge deal for Detroit to get that one seed. One less game you have to play with 22 guys on IR. One less game that you could hypothetically lose. It's such a big deal. Beyond the obvious, like, yeah, our fans get to go to Ford Field. Like, that is secondary to me. It's don't play another football game. Rest up some of these guys. Make sure that Alex Anzalone is integrated back. I hope he's there by week 18, but definitely by the playoffs.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. And I think a lot of this is going to come down to the wear and tear and the extra use of Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, he is averaging, I think it's right around 11 or 12, you know, carries per game. Once this year, he's carried the ball 20 times. In the last 3 weeks, that number is going to be closer to 20 every single game, if not above 20, in terms of the amount of carries that he has. Now, Craig Reynolds is going to be a large part of this equation as well. And when called upon, and you even have to go back to last year, when called upon in key moments, Craig Reynolds has produced. Remember that game last year against Tampa Bay?
Yep.
And I believe it was a big block that he threw. But he was able to carry the ball, and that was kind of that light bulb moment where we all were like, okay, Jared Goff, yeah, legit.
Yeah, because he was the run game, not with his legs, but the short passing and getting the ball out and moving the sticks without a run game.
And that, I'm glad you said that, because that's where I wanted to go with it, the short passing game. That is going to be where this team needs to really excel. If you don't have David Montgomery, and you don't necessarily want to overload Jahmyr Gibbs with touches and hits, it's going to have to be that short passing game that is substituted for some of the runs.
Couple quick ticket techs. Laughable. Two, John, do you have any integrity?
We'll find out.
Green Bay at 6, Philly at 3, Lions at 4. Philly is better on both lines of scrimmage, signed Will on the ticket text.
There's no question that Philly is better on the defensive line as of now. I mean, you took a look at the two guys. Was it Jordan? What's his name?
The two Georgia
D linemen. They are terrorists. There's no question. They're terrorists. But I think what we saw last week is an anomaly for the inside of this Lions offensive line. I will put our three guys up against those two guys, and I can't wait for that battle. If that matchup actually happens, that is going to be one that I will highlight throughout the course of that week, because it is going to be a magnificent battle.
That'll be like football porn for you, right? Like, to get that matchup, interior. I think Detroit's offensive line is the best in football. The only one that rivals it, though, is Philly. And then their D-line is better. So I have Philly ahead of Detroit now, so I agree with this person.
And I think Landon Dickerson is as tough as an offensive lineman as you're going to find in the NFL. I am curious as to how the wear and tear is going to be on him, because remember last year he was dinged up a little bit and he left that game. He'll be back. He'll be playing. And there's nobody that I think in this league that can play with an injury better than he can, other than maybe Frank Ragnow.
I'm confused why this show is dismissing the Bears. If it wasn't for their coach, they would have beat us on Thanksgiving. John, want to get your thoughts on that next. Plus, we have to get to some interesting characters in the National Football League. One that eats raccoon and one that eats squirrel brains.
Oh.
Sell us on the surprisingly good food that you have eaten. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. Heather is shaking her head, disgusted.
That's gross.
Well, you don't eat meat. Although squirrel brains, I don't know if that classifies as meat.
Why would that not count as meat?
Because it's like...
It's a brain. Brain. Brain's not a muscle, so it's not meat.
Well.
We'll classify what brains are next. 97.1. Yes.